Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Associate Executive Director, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Well, welcome everyone to the new year and the January 2026 episode of Practical Significance. We have somewhat of a tradition of having the kickoff episode be with the ASA president, and we're delighted to be continuing that tradition today with our guest, Jerry Mulrow. And Jerry, we always start by asking our guests to introduce themselves. So tell us a little bit about your day job, and then I'll follow up and ask a little bit more about your career.
It's great to be here today. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I'm very honored to be here as the 2026 ASA president. So you asked, what's my day job? I am currently a vice president and sector lead at Westat. I oversee our statistics and data science, our survey management and design, and our data operations groups here. So we do a lot of the very large data collection activities for the federal government, including things like the National Assessment for Education Progress and the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. And we are also, of course, pushing the boundaries in data science and Gen AI and AI. So it's a great place to work. So many great people and so many really interesting, challenging problems that we can get our hands into and help solve.
Well, thanks, Jerry. So I want to do a little bit of a retrospective, asking you to think about your current role and looking at where you started to where you are now. What surprises you most about that career trajectory?
Wow. I would say everything. I started up growing up as a little girl in Helena, Montana, and I have to say that I probably never would have dreamed to land in the Washington, D.C. area to be a vice president at an organization like Westat, to have a career in the federal government and ending up being the deputy director at the Bureau of Justice Statistics. Just all of it has really amazed me. I think, though, the most amazing part to me is not just the work that I've done, but the people that I've met. I have met so many amazing, wonderful folks throughout my career. And a lot of it has been through the American Statistical Association. It's like my home away from home. It's my happy place to be. And I've always, ever since I've joined the organization as a graduate student, just felt really at home and very comfortable always talking with people in the ASA. My career was certainly not straight and narrow and following a path. I think it was more of a meandering, take opportunities, take a few risks, work with people that I really liked, work on problems that I really liked. And I wasn't necessarily worried about that next promotion. I was really more interested in what's the next interesting problem to solve and how can I get involved in doing that.
That's great, Jerry. Thanks. So there are not very many people who end up on the board of directors three times. So that's a hat trick for you in that regard. So Jerry, now I want to zero in on your presidential initiative. We know the focus of this is communities in action, and it obviously resonates with people because the webinar that we had last month where we invited people to provide feedback had tremendous turnout and lots of interest. So please tell us your goals for this initiative and why it's important to you.
Thanks, Ron. I'm really excited about this initiative called Communities in Action. What I want to do is to help empower our statistical community members to engage with their local communities, the ones that they live in. That is, I want to bring our statistical and data science communities together with the places that we live. So you're right. We recently had that town hall, and I had given some examples there of what had inspired me to think about that initiative. But I also wanted to say that there were a couple of other connections that I didn't mention I'd like to talk about here. As I just mentioned, I spent a majority of my career working in the federal statistical system. And there I worked alongside with many other colleagues to produce data to be used for decision making at the national level. That was a really rewarding and challenging set of activities that I did. It was really rewarding because you could see how the data could be used to drive better decisions and that the data provided a better understanding of what was happening in the realm that you were measuring. And then you could look at measures of change and how that might impact policy decisions. The challenge was often about collecting that data how to get that data, where to get that data, how to get cleaner data. And interestingly, many sources of data that are used at the federal level actually come from the local levels. That is, the data come from states, they come from counties, cities, parishes, neighborhoods, et cetera. So that got me really thinking, shouldn't local communities also use data for decision making? I'm sure that it's true that some do, and my hunch is that even more could, and those that do might use it better. And so who can help better but us, statisticians and data scientists, right? So we're really good at working with data and we're really good at problem solving. So we bring that statistical problem-solving process with us to our work, and we work on problems that cover aspects of all of our lives. So that's one aspect of another personal connection to me and my initiative. I also want to say that as I was thinking about the initiative, I was going back and looking at the ASA's mission and vision, and I was thinking, what could I do as president that would be in alignment with that? And just to remind everybody, the mission is promoting the practice and profession of statistics, and the vision is a world that relies on data and statistical thinking to drive discovery and inform decisions. So I think also that this initiative, Communities in Actions, brings those two things to life for me in this initiative. So I'm really excited about it. It's really a grassroots call for action at the local level and for our community, our statistical community, to be an active presence in our local communities and spokespeople for statistics and data science. So the goal of my initiative is really to equip members with practical tips and tools that will enable them to bring their statistical and data expertise to the real challenges in their communities. So we're going to start by sharing resources and best practices and some concrete strategies to help people become more engaged, be more actionable, be more accessible. So I know a lot of people don't have a lot of time. So we're going to plan a variety of examples and materials to help our members to get started and build those relationships, no matter if they have 1 hour a year, 1 hour a month, or 1 hour a week. So I hope everyone will see some way that they might be able to get involved in this initiative, even if it's a small amount or maybe it's a larger amount. So I'm really excited about it, though. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Jerry. And we're excited about it as well. Now we're going to do the thing that leaders get asked to do, and that is to make predictions. Now, in our line of work, we also know that there's variability. And so predictions are uncertain and so on. And so nobody will hold you to this prediction. But I'm asked a lot. And so I want to ask you how you think AI technologies will change what statisticians and data scientists do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I always love that question. So what do you think? Where do you see the future? I say, well, let me grab my magic eight ball and shake it here. Because, right, we're never sure exactly. But AI technologies, I think they're here to stay. I think that people are just so excited about them. And they can be very useful when they're used appropriately. Our community of statisticians and data scientists, we have a lot of expertise that I think we can bring because we have the foundations of what AI and the technologies are built upon. I think AI is very helpful. It can make tasks more efficient and more timely. It can help people code better. It can help clean data. I mean, it can help even analyze data. It can help us write scripts and codes. It can help us create visualizations. These are all things that I think sound like things that we already do. But it is artificial intelligence. AI is artificial intelligence, and it has to be guided and validated. And these are the things that statisticians and data scientists really do well. We really think about the problems and what's underlying and what the causes are and are the data appropriate. I think all of these things are things that we will need to continue to bring to these AI technologies. So I see us hopefully having more time to actually think through the statistical problem-solving process for the challenge at hand so that we're not necessarily always having to be in the weeds, but being able to actually come up and think. I hope it'll give us more time to really look for those data sources that are really needed to answer those questions and to be thinking about the quality of those data sources. Are they appropriate? Do they cover the right populations? Do they have the right measures? More data is not necessarily more information. It just depends on what the data can say. And our community are really the ones that think about that. And I think we'll continue to be thinking about that. So I think we'll still be very busy. We have to be involved in these processes. So that's my thinking.
So, Jerry, I think I want to follow up on the two previous questions. It's clear that the initiative Communities in Actions has excited you and has made you hopeful. And then your last answer, which we obviously completely agree with, has expressed a future that has more engagement opportunities, more substantive, perhaps, engagement opportunities. So expand a little bit on what makes you hopeful for the future of the profession.
Looking back, and then even looking back really recently, our profession is always evolving. We are always thinking about ways how we can improve upon what we do. We are always pushing those boundaries. That's what makes me hopeful for the future for our profession. If you look over time, we've just evolved. We've shown that we're very adaptable, we're creative, we're persistent, and we just keep moving forward. If you have attended the past JSMs and looked at the featured lectures and award recipients, you can see how they're continuing to push the boundaries. For the fun of it, I asked Copilot to give me some examples, and guess what they came up with? They came up with the most recent COPS President Award winners, Cochrane Award winners, the distinguished lectureship. So it's very exciting to see that, many people are continuing to be pushing forward. So I know it can seem like it's a little daunting because maybe it's not the way that we've been doing it before, but I think we're very well suited for continuing to adapt to the changes that are needed.
Thanks for that, Jerry. And I'll add that soon a report on frontiers of statistics will be coming out from the National Academies Committee led by Kathy Ensor and Lance Waller. And it will highlight what you're saying about the exciting opportunities there are for the discipline as we go forward. Now let's look back a little bit. Even though I knew your story, I was really interested in hearing you tell it again and imagining the young Jerry and Helena and then all the career changes that you have made. There are going to be some young folks listening to this podcast who might have a goal of being an ASA leader, being the president of the ASA, or being the leader of some other organization or the organization they're in, or maybe even haven't gotten to the point where they're thinking about becoming a leader. For those folks, what advice would you have based on your long experience?
That's a great question, Ron. I was really trying to remember back whether I had being president of the ASA on my list of things, but I would say that when I think back on it, my goal has always, whether it's in where I work or with the ASA, my goal has always been to be involved, like present, really present in that organization and being helpful, trying to find ways that I can use my statistical or data science skills to actually help improve things. Not just my skills though there, but also to help people who have those skills also to be, moved forward. I guess what I would say, one thing that I think has really helped me is to be involved in the ASA. It's helped me through my professional career, of course, also as well as through my progression here at the ASA through various different committees and vice president and now president. So just to give people a little bit of a flavor, I first got involved in the ASA at the chapter level when I was a graduate student. I have to say I was probably a little pushed by my advisor, to go to the Colorado Wyoming chapter day and to present at things. And that was a good experience. It was a little daunting for me as a graduate student to go there first, and I didn't feel like I was very good at public speaking, but it was a good experience. And then when I moved to Washington, D.C., I took a job at the Statistics of Income Division at the IRS under Fritz Schuren. And, by the way, Fritz is a former ASA president. But he was really encouraging and supportive to be involved in the Washington Statistical Society. So again, that's our local chapter. So I started out on the short course committee and moved to the social committee. And I spent many years on those committees, and I met a lot of local statisticians, and it was just a really wonderful experience. And it helped me in my career in that I was able to talk with people across a variety of different disciplines, which gave me ideas, to bring back to my own workplace. But it also just really brought the community together for me. I mean, I just met so many wonderful people through my chapter experiences. I would say for somebody who wants to be president of the ASA or president of another organization, get involved in that organization. Get involved, here, if you're an ASA member, get involved in your local chapter and help move some things forward. Get involved in your sections and be present and be helpful. If there's a call for action or a call for volunteers and you have some time, do it and put some time into it. Don't just sign up and say, I have it on my resume, but actually put some effort into it. I would say that what has amazed me is that the more that I give, the more that I have gotten back. So I guess that would be my advice is to give, and you'll be surprised at how much you will get back. It will come in different ways.
And Jerry, I can't help but mention that there's a great way to get involved right now by filling out the interest form for Communities in
That's right.
Action that will be in the show notes and is included in your January AmStat news column. So
Yes, please get involved.
we're eager to have new folks be involved. So, well, we always end with the question about what are you reading, listening to, or watching? So, what's on your TBR, your playlist, your movie list, all of the above?
Yeah, I do like to read for pleasure, and I like to read when I have like several hours of time to just, sit and read. So I just finished reading a book called The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa. I go to this little local independent bookstore down the street from me, and it was just one of the staff recommendations, and it's an interesting dystopia novel, but I liked it. And then the next one on my list is Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. And that was recommended to me by a very good friend. So I'm looking forward to having some time to sit. Reading to me is much more relaxing than even watching a TV show or something like that. So I just like being able to focus without all the other stuff going on. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, thanks for that, and thanks for joining us. And we began with the tradition of inviting the ASA president, and we'll end with the tradition of Ron's top 10. So I'll turn it over to my colleague Ron for his top 10.
Thank you, Donna. Well, here we are at the start of a new year. As I considered the year ahead, I got to thinking how my younger self could not have imagined the year 2026, nor did younger Ron think about how old he would be then. But rather than dwell on that, I decided to enjoy my love of numbers by thinking about various ways of referring to the year 2026. So here are the top 10 ways of expressing the year 2026. Number 10, MMXXVI as a Roman numeral. I'm sure you expected me to do this. Number 9, 7EA, hexadecimal. Number 8, as the sum of four consecutive numbers, that is 505 plus 506 plus 507 plus 508. Number 7, 2 times 1013, which is the prime factorization of 2026. Number 6, 45 squared plus 1. Number 5, we could call it year 1, since 1 is the value of 2026 modulo 3. Number 4, the square root of 4,104,676. Number 3, 1012, which is Euler's totient function phi of 2026. Hooray for number theory! Number 2, the year of the horse. And the number one way to express the year 2026, hold on tight, here we go again. Well, that's it for another episode of Practical Significance. Thank you for joining us in our first year of our sixth season. We look forward to continuing the conversation next month.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AmStat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.